Sorry. Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 6, and we're picking up with verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth."
So we know that God's destroying the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now he instructs Noah to build an ark. But the ark is made of gopher wood, probably cypress from what research I've done on this. And it was to be divided into chambers, and it was to be covered with pitch. Pitch is a bitumen. It's a type of tar, both inside and out, which would have been waterproofing it, you know, sealing it, making sure it didn't have leaks in it, okay? Because he's going to be in there for a year, right?
Mm-hmm. So verse 15, "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits."
Okay. Looking at a cubit, generally a cubit is said to be from the elbow to the tip of the finger, and that would be generally accepted as 18 inches. Then there is another cubit that is that and a hand's width, which is like 27 inches then. But from what I'm seeing here, this is an 18 inch, and if you do your math on it, then this ark, this boat, this vessel, is 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Pretty significant vessel.
Mm-hmm. "A window shall you make to the ark, and in a cubit shall you finish it above. And the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shall you make it."
Now, we don't have all the detail, we just have highlights. The ark's to be three levels, three decks, lower, middle, and an upper deck. And then there's to be an 18-inch window in the top of the ark, placed in the upper portion of the ark. And there was a door, one door. And that door was in the side of the ark. And we know that God's the one that closed the door. Mm-hmm. Okay.
"And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die."
Now, if you think about this, God is telling Noah what's going to happen. Everything's going to be wiped out, except he and his three sons and their wives. Well, Noah had other relatives, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. On earth, friends and all this type thing. And a pretty heavy message to be given to you, that Noah has to stay focused on the mandate that God's given, because without the fulfilling of this mandate, life's not going to be preserved. And so he's to follow the instructions of God and build this vessel exactly the way God wants it built, and to take into this vessel what God tells him to take. Okay?
"But with you will I establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you."
So here God is establishing a covenant with Noah. And, you know, there's various covenants that God's made. You generally hear the Abrahamic covenant or the old covenant with Moses. But this is a covenant that God's made with Noah. "I'm going to destroy all the earth. You and your immediate family will be saved." And then he tells him after the flood that the earth won't be flooded again, and puts the rainbow as a sign, of the covenant that God has between man and earth. That rainbow is not just for man, but it's man and earth, and it's a reminder to God. Anytime God sees that rainbow, it's, and I won't flood it totally like I did before, just waiting for fire. That's going to be the destruction, okay?
I've got a note here that I want to share with y'all just to talk about Noah here for a little bit. You remember when we read in Hebrews chapter 11, we've got Noah's mention by faith in the seventh verse here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But we had talked about in last session, if you'll remember, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so Noah's been given this command here. You build this ark, a large ark, and we're going to find lots of animals, not just pairs of animals, but we're going to find seven pairs went into this ark. Don't you know people were asking, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you spending your time on this? But Noah was a preacher of righteousness, right? By faith, he had to make a decision here, whether or not he was going to go on the word of God that he heard and follow the directions that were given to him, or just to blow it off. It's not going to rain that much. We're not really going to have a flood. Not everything's really going to be destroyed. We all have to make decisions, don't we? Thankfully, he made the right one. He listened and took heed.
And so how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Noah heard God speak to him. And so that's what stimulated the faith, you understand? He heard God and he acted on what God said. That principle is carried throughout all generations. That's still the way God works today. Faith is acting on what God says.
You know, we look at that 18th verse, that with you I will establish my covenant. With the one that hears me speak and obeys and takes heed, I will establish my covenant. We talked about, and I'll probably keep mentioning this all the way through our study of the Old Testament, but this is pointing to, and we're going to talk about what this flood is actually pointing to, what this ark points to. This is pointing to something. We're under a covenant with God right now, if we choose to be, if we choose to take heed and listen and obey. That's what Noah did. Okay. Verse 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female.
This is also something that is missed. And I can remember growing up in church and the flannel graph board and Noah's Ark and all this type stuff. And I always thought the animals went in two by two until I started studying and learning some things. When it says two, he's talking about pair. He takes two pair, and I'll fast forward a little bit. He takes two pair of unclean. Pair means male, female. So he's taking two pairs, that's four animals per species, okay, of unclean. But of the clean animals, he's taking seven pair. That would be 14, right? Male and female. Okay? And a lot of times people just, you know, they look over it, write songs. You know, he went in two by two. Well, let's get this thing distinguished. Why the pairs? Because they had to fruitful and multiply. You understand? It took male, female, male, female. Why more clean than unclean? Because after the flood, they're going to offer animal sacrifices. And they only offer these clean animals. Okay? And so the earth had to be filled with more clean animals. Okay?
It's amazing. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto you to keep them alive.
So these that God told him to take on board so they wouldn't become extinct. Now, I want you to think about this. The size of the ark, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, three stories. That's going to house all these animals and these eight people for a year, over a year, year and 10 days, okay? Now, we have animals on earth today that men have breeded, they've crossbreeded, okay? And so I don't think you're seeing everything that you see today. What you're seeing Noah take on the ark was what God made, male and female, okay? Pure breed.
And take unto you all food that is eaten, that you shall gather it to you, and it shall be for food for you and for them.
Now here's another thing. I mean, you think about this. All these various animals and the people, and they're going to be on there for a year. That is a lot of food, my friend. I'm talking about gathering your vegetables or whatever. And so, how does he know how much to take? He's evidently getting a lot more instruction than what we're seeing here. Because he has enough food on that ark to sustain all those animals and people for a year and 10 days anyway, right? I mean, that's major.
That really would take the wisdom of God when you think about it. If you've ever taken your family to the beach for a week and you cook when you're there, you know how hard that is to plan.
You don't have enough food in your cabinet to last you a year,
no.
Do you?
It's hard to do. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he.
Noah did everything the Lord told him to do. He fully obeyed God. That's a good example for us, right?
It is a good example. Chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for you I have seen righteous before me in this generation.
So we're going to see in this chapter how God told Noah to go into the ark with the animals, and that the earth's going to be flooded, right, in this particular chapter, okay?
We reiterate there that he was righteous
so he's told
in his
him,
generation.
The Lord recognizes Noah as righteous in his generation. And so I want you to get the detail of how this all happens mm-hmm. when God tells Noah and his family to go into the ark.
Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth.
See, I mentioned this earlier, but this gives some insight into God's instruction concerning the animals that are to be taken in the ark. Seven pairs, male, female, seven couples, if I can say it that way, of every clean animal, and then he was to take two pairs or two couples of every unclean animal, and of all the birds as well. And here again, This is to prevent these animals from becoming extinct. Okay, they're going to reproduce in the earth after the flood.
For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth.
And so, 7 days Noah has to get those animals in the ark. Think about it. And God said, in 7 days I'm going to cause it to rain on the earth. Now, note this. And here's another thing that as a kid, I was taught the flood was 40 days. Well, boy, that's not so. It rained 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
But we find the waters prevailed on the earth, the whole earth covered for 150 mm-hmm. days. Mountaintops, the whole ball of wax, you understand? So, every living thing that God had made was getting ready to be wiped out of the soil. Now, he doesn't say sea. You find that if the breath was in the nostrils, mm-hmm. but that's not the way fish breathe, right? And so this is not affecting the fish of the sea. It's affecting the animals on the earth, okay?
And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him.
How old was Noah when he entered the ark? 600, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he goes in with his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives. So his sons are married, right? And this keeps them from being destroyed by the flood. Now, there's a contrast we can make here between Enoch and Noah. Enoch walked out. He was delivered from, Noah went through. Okay? One was taken up, one's riding out the storm. But he's protected. When God's judgment was falling on the earth, Noah was protected. You've heard the phrase, ark of safety. Right? That's exactly what he was in, an ark of safety that not only spared his life, but also his wife and his sons and his sons' wives. Okay? So sometimes you ride out the storm. Jesus talks about it in Matthew 7. Wise man, he experiences the same storm as a foolish man. The difference is he's established, the foolish man isn't, okay?
And even in the garden when he was praying to his father, he said, I'm getting ready to leave, but they're staying here. Keep them. Keep them.
Yeah, he didn't say he to take them out of the world. He said, keep them. They're not of it, but they are in it, so keep them in the world. And I believe that's where the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, plays a major role in keeping us, guiding us as we go through this journey of life, as it's often called.
The Lord kept Noah. Verse 8. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creeps upon the earth, there went in two, and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah.
So Noah, his wife, his son's wife, they go in the ark. Noah takes all these animals and birds into the ark in pairs, just as the Lord had commanded him to do. Now, it's interesting. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
7 days after God spoke to Noah about taking the animals and birds into the ark, the flood came.
Mm-hmm. And then verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open.
So, the 17th day of the second month in the 600th year of Noah's life is very significant. That's how we know how long he's in the ark. We have a starting point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about the flood is not that it just rained, but water came up out of the ground, the fountains of the deep, and then from heaven, the windows of heaven. Can you imagine the clouds just dumping water? We don't know what flood is. I mean, we see areas flooded, but that's nothing compared to what happened here in Noah's day. And you can see how devastating a flood is today.
And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
So it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Rained 40 days and 40 nights. Okay?
In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark.
So when did the flood start? The same day that he got all the animals and his family in the ark. Okay?
Mm-hmm. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort.
Now this interests me. Says the Lord shut them in. The Lord's closing the door to this. When he closes the door, no man can open it. You understand? Because I suspect that after the rain started and the water started rising, that people have the idea, you know, we should get in this ark. They can't get in it. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of spiritual parallel in all this. God gives us a window of time, and it's extremely important that we respond to God in the window of time that He's given us. I think about the virgins, you know, the five wise, the five foolish, and here you have five that aren't prepared. And when the bridegroom comes, what happens? They have to go and get what they need. When they come back, he says, I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get in. You understand? Noah, from the very statement that he was a preacher of righteousness, suggests to me that not only was Noah building an ark, but he was also proclaiming a message. The people aren't listening. You understand? Just like today. We proclaim and people don't listen. It's an amazing thing to me. You know, we were talking to Heather about a situation. And I told her, I said, you know, most of the counsel that I've done over the years has been ignored. There are very few people. It's amazing. They'll come to you for counsel. You tell them what the Bible says, but there are very few that will follow the counsel. They have a preconceived idea. They think they have a better way, a better idea, and they will not listen to God. That is amazing to me. And if you come for advice, you'd think a person would take advice, wouldn't you? But how many times do people go before God for advice, but they don't follow the advice that God gives them? And what happens? You shut yourself out. You understand? We'll blame it on God. But when the cup of iniquity is full, then the judgment comes. 10 generations. Mm-hmm. But then the judgment came. Mm-hmm. The United States is not getting by with anything. No other nation is getting by with anything. God's not just overlooking and sweeping things under the rug. There is a judgment that comes. God's word will be fulfilled. God is just. God is righteous. Here's the thing. He is merciful. Mm-hmm. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But when that space of time ends, the flood comes. And you can't blame God if you're not in the ark. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth.
Now, you think of how big this ark is, 450 feet by 75 feet, 45 feet high. It probably took more than a day for that thing to get to floating. You understand? We're talking about a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of this. The waters ascended to where even the peaks of the mountain, if my memory's right, 15 feet above the peaks of the mountain, who can survive it?
15. Mm-hmm.
Who can tread water 150 days? You're with me? In other words, when God brought this thing on earth, He brought it about in such a way that the only way to survive was to be in the ark. I'm telling you, the only way to survive is to be in Jesus. There's no other way. And people are being deceived.
So that 15 cubits that Pete was referring to in verse 20 is 22.5 feet. 22.5 feet.
It's 15 cubits, not feet. 15 cubits, which would actually be 22.5 feet. So the earth's underwater at the highest mountain peak, 22.5 feet. I mean, that's pretty incredible if you ask me. That's a lot of water. And so everything on earth, men, women, animals, whatever, birds, cattle, you understand, birds can't fly forever. And plus, they have to eat, and there is no food available in all this period of time. And so, all the people died. Everything on land that breathes through its nostrils died. Mm-hmm. Nothing remained alive. The only living thing was in the ark. Okay?
Let me catch up to you. 21. And all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark.
You can read the next verse also.
And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days.
Now you know where I got the 150 days, okay? Can you imagine that the earth is completely covered for 150 days? With water. And so there can't be anything that breathes through its nostrils to survive. You can't make it that long. You know, you see floods that are going on today, how people are getting on top of vehicles, or people can be climbing up in a tree or something like that. And your tallest peak is 22 and a half feet below water. So where's your safety? There is no safety. And then especially for that long. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
A cleansing, a purging of the earth with water. He'll purge it with fire the next time. You see, you look in the law of Moses, there were two ways to clean things. By water, by fire. Okay? The water came first. The fire is the last purging. Okay?
Okay. Chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged.
So chapter 8 records the diminishing of the waters after the flood. And Noah and all that were with him leaving the ark, and then Noah's sacrifice to the Lord. Now, when it says that God remembered Noah, God had not forgotten Noah, okay? But the bottom line is God is now putting his attention on Noah. In other words, judgment has been executed. All the living things on earth have died. Now God's focus on Noah. And so it says he caused the wind to pass over the earth, and the water started decreasing. They didn't just leave immediately. Do you understand? They've been on the earth, covered the earth for 150 days, and so they begin to decrease, and the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven have stopped. The rain has ceased after 40 days, we know. And so at the end of 150 days, now the water starts diminishing. It kept increasing and increasing. Now the water is diminishing. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
The 17th day of the seventh month. Then the ark settles on Mount Ararat. But note, it's just that the ark now hits land, its surface now. It's been floating, and now it's on this mountain, and it ceases to float.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying here, okay?
And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen.
Now think about that. Even after the ark settled, and you have to remember that ark has a draft. It's drawing water. To be 45 feet high, it has to have a significant amount under the water, you understand? In the Navy, the vessel that I was on after I got back from Vietnam would draw like 15 feet of water. And so what that's doing is stabilizing. Not that that one was stable, but there's amount of stability. So there's water under there. It sets down. But the water starts decreasing from the seventh month. It was not until 3 months later that the tops of the mountains
mm-hmm.
could be seen. Okay?
In verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made.
So, now after 40 days, Noah opens the window and sends out a raven
mm-hmm.
to see if the waters have diminished off of the earth. But the raven goes back and forth and back and forth. You understand? They have to have a place to land sometime, you understand?
Mm-hmm. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark.
And so Noah sends out this dove to see if there's dry land. But the dove comes back to him. He has nowhere to go. So he comes back to his place of security, if I can say it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated off the earth.
So here the second time the dove comes back, it has a leaf in its mouth, in its beak.
Mm-hmm.
And so Noah knows now that the waters are diminishing, but he's not out of the ark yet. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore.
So this time he sends the dove out and it doesn't return. That just telling Noah a dove has a place to land. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our time's up, so we'll stop right here, and we'll pick back up with this in our next session, okay? You learned anything?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Check me out now. Make sure we're telling you the truth, okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.